भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 24. Namastasmai Bhagavate
Namastasmai Bhagavate
Vasudevaya Vedase
Vasudevaya Vedase
Papurgyanam Ayam Saumya
Papurgyanam Ayam Saumya
Yan Mukham Buruhasavam
Yan Mukham Buruhasavam
Namastasmai Bhagavate
Namastasmai
Vasudevaya Vedase Papurgyanam Ayam Saumya Yan Mukham Buruhasavam Namastasmai Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vedase Papurgyanam Ayam Saumya Yan Mukham Buruhasavam. Word for word. Namaha.
Namaha.
My obeisances.
Tasmai.
Unto him.
Bhagavate.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Vasudevaya.
Unto Vasudev or his incarnations.
Vedase.
The compiler of the Vedic literatures.
Papu.
Drunk.
Jnanam.
Knowledge.
Ayam.
This. Sorry, this Vedic knowledge.
Saumyaha.
The devotees. Especially the consorts of Lord Krishna. Yat.
From whose?
Mukha Amburuha.
The lotus-like mouth.
Asavam.
Nectar from his mouth.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadev, the incarnation of Vasudev, who compiled the Vedic scriptures. The pure devotees drink up the nectarian transcendental knowledge. The pure devotees drink up the nectarian transcendental knowledge dropping from the lotus-like mouth of the Lord. Purport. In pursuance of the specific utterance, Vedase, or the compiler of the system of transcendental knowledge, Srila Sridhara Swami has commented that the respectful obeisances are offered to Srila Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of Vasudev. Srila Jiva Goswami has agreed to this, but Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has made a further advance, namely that the nectar from the mouth of Lord Krishna is transferred to his different consorts, and thus they learn the finer arts of music, dance, dressing, decorations, and all such things which are relished by the Lord. Such music, dance, and decorations enjoyed by the Lord are certainly not anything mundane, because the Lord is addressed in the very beginning as para, or transcendental. This transcendental knowledge is unknown to the forgotten conditioned souls. Srila Vyasadev, who is the incarnation of the Lord, thus compiled the Vedic literatures to revive the lost memory of the conditioned souls about the eternal relation with the Lord. One should therefore try to understand the Vedic scriptures or the nectar transferred by the Lord to his consorts in the conjugal humor from the lotus-like mouth of Vyasadev or Shukadev. By gradual development of transcendental knowledge, one can rise to the stage of the transcendental arts of music and dance displayed by the Lord in his Rasa Leela. But without having the Vedic knowledge, one can hardly understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's Rasa dance and music. The pure devotees of the Lord, however, can equally relish the nectar in the form of the profound philosophical discourses and in the form of kissing by the Lord in the Rasa dance, as there is no mundane distinction between the two. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, so the cloud technology has failed. So much for that. So they say that with the cloud technology, if you save your document, the next second you can open it on your other device. So it's been quite a few minutes and I really can't open it. So I'll have to use this bulky thing for my class, which is quite an inconvenience. Just bear with me for a second. Internet is not working, that's why. So can't blame Apple fully. Okay. So here, so this is the second last verse of this chapter, and then we'll begin the next one, chapter 5 of the second canto. So in these series of verses, we hear these prayers by Shukdev Goswami unto the Supreme Lord, glorifying the Supreme Lord, and he's seeking the Supreme Lord's mercy to in order to describe the creation of the universe. And in today's verse, he's offering his obeisances unto Vyasadeva. So it's very very nice verse. So we know Srila Vyasadeva is the compiler of all the Vedic literatures. Sometimes we chant this verse. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. That he had offering respectful obeisances to, before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances to Narayan, the Supreme Lord, to Naranarayan Rishi, to Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedic literature. So we can see that Srila Vyasadeva, he compiled all the Vedic literature. And this pastime is even there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, in the fourth, fifth, sixth chapters. It's there how Vyasadeva was inspired to compile all the Vedic literature, and then how he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll very briefly just look at that. I'll just see if it's come here, then it makes it much easier. I don't have to hold this huge thing. No, it won't work today. Yeah, good idea. Thank you. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, what was I saying? Vyasadeva compiled the Vedas. And this pastime is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we know Vyasadeva is born of Satyavati and Parashar Muni. So he was born on a river. He was conceived on a river, on a boat. So by Parashar Muni. And then, this pastime is also there in the Mahabharata about how Vyasadeva appeared. So Vyasadeva is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So for the purpose of disseminating Vedic knowledge. And but because of Vyasadeva's great vision, his transcendental vision, he could foresee what was going to happen in Kali Yuga. So he could, just like an astrologer can predict events, so Vyasadeva could actually see through the future. And he saw that in the age of Kali, people will have short lives, they'll be very, very much disqualified, they'll be reduced in the duration of life, they'll be impatient. So he was thinking about their welfare, and all material qualities will get degraded by the passing of every day. So, but you know, in the 12th canto, there's this famous verse, the strength, mercy, knowledge, compassion, all these things are going down by the passing of every day of Kali Yuga. So he could foresee all this, and then he decided to, at that time, there was only one Veda, and that also wasn't written. It was transmitted in an oral form. So foreseeing our lack of qualities, he decided to put the one Veda into four and compile it. So then he entrusted this task to his various disciples and grand disciples. And then the four Vedas came about along with the Puranas and the Upanishads. And he even compiled the Puranas. Because he understood that in Kali Yuga, people, the less intelligent people, won't even be able to understand the Vedas. So he compiled the Puranas. So in Kali Yuga, everyone is more or less born a Shudra. Kalau Shudra Sambhava. So he compiled the Vedas, but still after doing all this, he was not satisfied in his heart. So he wasn't feeling fully satisfied by performing this welfare activity. So he was actually performing a welfare activity because he knew that by sacrifice one can purify one's existence. And he knew that sacrifices are contained within the Vedas. And so the Vedas are emanate from the breathing of the Lord, as it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So he knew that sacrifices are in the Vedas, and he has to write down the sacrifices for people to take advantage of. But despite of doing all this, delineating impersonal Brahman, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, karma khanda, jnana khanda, the whole huge Vedas. So he was not feeling very satisfied. But he had kind of a clue why he wasn't feeling satisfied, because in his heart he knew he didn't do justice to the pastimes of the Lord. So it's not that in the Vedas the pastimes were not described. The glories of the Lord were not described, but not adequately. So a large chunk of it was in relationship with the body and the mind. So when Narada Muni came there, he asked his Guru Maharaj why he's feeling despondent. So Narada Muni explained that his cause of despondency is because of not adequately glorifying the pastimes of the Lord. So Narada Muni told him, "You have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the Supreme Lord. So that philosophy which does not sanctify the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless." So then, out of his compassion, Vyasadev took this welfare activity. So, in the Prema Vivarta, there are these two verses: Krishna bahi mukh hai bhoga vancha kare nikatastha maya tare japati adhare. So, which says that when jivas who desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, then Maya who is standing nearby immediately seizes them. And then, Pesachi paile yena mati channa hai maya grasta jivera hai se bhava udai. So then those jivas which are grasped by Maya, they become fully bewildered, as if they have been possessed by a ghost. So we can see, like, some people who have been influenced by a ghost, they don't act in a so-called normal fashion. They consider them mad. So there further says, when one is possessed by a ghost, one becomes bewildered. So this condition befalls souls who have been seized by Maya. So Vyasadeva could see this, and he wanted to help us, basically. And so he compiled all this, but still he wasn't satisfied. And then he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here it's also mentioned in this verse that transcendental knowledge is relishable by the pure devotees. They drink this nectar. So in the very second verse of the Bhagavatam, this mention is there that this transcendental knowledge is actually relishable by the Paramahamsas. And it is meant for them especially, for the Paramahamsas. So this is the Dharma Projita Kaitavo Atra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayan Mulam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kim Vaparayar Ishvarha Sadhyar Hidi Avarudhyate Atara kritibhi shushrubhi tachnat. So this Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, rejects all material activities. And it propounds the highest truth, which is relishable by the Paramahamsas. Or which is, actually the translation is, which is understandable. The next verse is relishable. So the translation is, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. And then further on, the verse says, such truth uproots the threefold miseries. And this, the highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. So Srimad Bhagavatam is quite an amazing literature. It is not only meant for the Paramahamsas, but it is also very beneficial for the conditioned souls. Because it distinguishes reality from illusion. And we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. So, and if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so many other devotees in our line, they've been reading Srimad Bhagavatam and they've written so many commentaries on it. So from this we can understand that Srimad Bhagavatam is actually meant for the Paramahamsas. Because if someone can understand this literature who is fully pure in heart, who is free from envy, those devotees can actually understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the qualification. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport to the second verse of the Bhagavatam that because of this competitive spirit, which is based on envy, it's not possible to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam in its depth. So generally people take to religious life because of some material motivation. So there's the material aspect of religion, dharma, artha, and kama. So, and Prabhupada gives the example of, you know, the reason churches, temples are empty because people can make money otherwise. So they think, you know, I can earn my bread by going to work. So if I surrender to my employer and he'll give me my wage, so therefore I do not need to go to the temple or the mosque. So from that we can understand that people generally approach religion for material gain. If I put money in the donation box, or if I come and pray to Krishna, so I will get something in return. So this is an envious attitude. And in the material world, there is so much competition, which is all based on envy. So we see that so many corporations are competing against each other. But it is based on envy. We want to do better than them. And we want to enjoy more than them. So whoever is haunted by bhukti and mukti, they cannot penetrate into the depths of Krishna consciousness. So these are like poisons. So bhukti is material enjoyment, and mukti means the desire to get liberated. That is also a material desire, because it's got nothing to do with Krishna's service. So that is also a material desire. So when we are haunted by such ghosts, it's not possible to understand the Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam is relished by, again, pure devotees. And when they speak on it, it becomes even more relishable. So, Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam Phalam Sukha Mukhat Amrita Dravya Samyutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam Muho Raho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. So there, it's mentioned in the third verse of the Bhagavatam that expert and thoughtful men, they relish Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the mature fruit of the desire tree of the Vedic literature. So the Vedas are like a tree. So the Veda is a desire tree. So from the Veda, you can get anything you want. So you can get any branch of knowledge you want, from astronomy to, you know, physics, or you name it, cosmology, medicine, architecture, everything is there. So if someone wants spiritual emancipation, that is also there. So if someone wants to go even deeper, all that is there. But Srimad Bhagavatam is like the cream. So the cream is the best part. Like when we boil milk, so the cream is the essence of the milk. And that cream is very relishable. So that's scooped away and people relish the cream. So we don't throw away the cream. So the cream is like, which is the essence. So because Srimad Bhagavatam emanated from the lips of Shukadev Goswami, it's become even more tasteful. So there's a saying that when a fruit is picked, when a parrot touches a fruit, it's supposed to get even more relishable. So in the same way, when pure devotees, they speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is even more relishable, and we can experience that. So we have seen here when pure devotees visit, they speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's like a different energy created. It's very, very sweet and relishable. But those who are affected by Maya, they cannot really relish Srimad Bhagavatam. So those who are affected by material contamination, they are more drawn towards mundane literature, which is compared to a place of pilgrimage for crows. It's very heavy in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it says that those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, which can alone sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. So in India you can see a lot of crows. And in Australia also crows are there, but they're very big, they're huge. Because in Australia everything is big. The banana is big, the orange is big, everything is big. People's plates are big, houses are big. So the crows are big also. So the point is, those literatures which have nothing to do with Krishna and his glories are like places of pilgrimage for crows. So in such literatures, devotees have nothing to do with them. So devotees might read those literatures for the purposes of preaching, but you know, they don't really hanker for those literatures. Devotees don't hanker for them. You know, it's like if they haven't read the latest Science Weekly, they're not hankering for it when the next edition comes out. But devotees are hankering for the next BTG edition, for example, or you know, some other book, some latest book coming out, or the Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavad Gita. And then the next verse is a very famous one, Tadvag Visargo Janata Viplavo Yasmin Prati Shlokam Abadhavati Api Namani Anantasya Yasho Ankitani Yat Shinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadhava. So there it says that, Narad Muni says, on the other hand, that literature which is full of transcendent, of the descriptions of transcendental glories of name, fame, form, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation. Full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, or such literatures, are transcendental. So it's interesting, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada quotes this verse, and he says, you know, I've translated the Srimad Bhagavatam, though it might have many, even in the purport of this verse he writes, there might be many, you know, shortcomings, but the matter is very serious. And it will be, intelligent people will relish this matter, or they'll understand the importance of this matter. So though there might be some literary deficiencies, some, you know, mistakes here and there, but because it's Krishna's glories are there, so such works are very powerful. They are actually transcendental. So whatever comes out of Krishna's mouth is actually Vedic knowledge, as it's mentioned in this verse. So there Prabhupada says in the purport that So Vedic knowledge is nectar from mouth of Krishna to different consorts in the form of music, dance, decorations, etc. So Krishna is inconceivable. He can pass knowledge in any way of a shape he likes to. You know, we sing every morning, Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashyanti panti. What's the next one? So Krishna by his potencies can perform any action with any of his senses. So that's Krishna. And we even see that Krishna enlightened Brahma by playing his flute. So when Krishna was playing his flute, he initiated Brahma. So in initiation there is transference of knowledge. So when Krishna was playing the flute, this Om entered into Brahma's ears, and in that way Brahma was initiated. And then when Brahma spoke, he compiled the Gayatri Mantra. So this is what is described in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya describes that. So Krishna enlightened Brahma by his flute playing. So we can see that such knowledge can also be passed in various other means by Krishna's potency. And all this music, dance, decorations, all these things are transcendental because they are in relationship to Krishna. So we see even Narada Muni, he was given a veena by Krishna. Krishna gave Narada Muni a veena personally. So with that veena, Narada Muni was going over all over the universe, and he was glorifying the Supreme Lord. So there are these 7 meters, Saregama Pada Nisa. So these are transcendental when they are used for glorification of Krishna. So Narada Muni did that with his veena. He traveled all over the universe and he was chanting Krishna's glories. But this Saregama Pada Nisa is used in the material world for mundane purposes, for composing mundane sounds. And as Kali Yuga is progressing, they're not even using Saregama Pada Nisa. This horrible electronic, you know, music, rock, this and that. So when we go on catering, we have these huge events where there's like 20,000-30,000 people. This music is, you know, blaring out of the speakers, and it's horrible. You know, and it's full of very offensive language, swearing, this and that, and they're just shouting, wah, like this. Literally, they're shouting like that. So music has become very, very degraded. But music is originally meant to glorify Krishna. And there's nothing wrong in such kind of music. And in fact, this is Lord Chaitanya's program. So Lord Chaitanya was a very controversial sannyasi in his time. Because the Mayavadi sannyasis, they would not dance. The Mayavadi sannyasis would not sing. They would not eat luxuriously or sumptuously. And they would not discuss the pastimes of the Lord. You know, what to speak of, the intimate pastimes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing all of these things. And this was very controversial. And this is Lord Chaitanya's program. So we're spreading the Sankirtan movement using music, dance, philosophy and prasadam. So that's the program. And such activity is purely transcendental. And such instruments are also transcendental. They are, in fact, the expansion of Lord Balaram. Because Lord Balaram serves Krishna through his paraphernalia, by expanding as his paraphernalia. So the mridanga, the karthals, the vampas, these instruments are Krishna's potency, and they are meant to glorify him. And we see that Lord Chaitanya, he was performing Harinam Sankirtan throughout South India and so many other places. He went traveling and he was chanting and singing and dancing. And there was prasadam going on. There were feasts going on. So this is our business also. So Srila Prabhupada, in so many conversations, purports, lectures, interviews, he says that we are following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. And this is very attractive to people. And Srila Prabhupada said that this is being received very nicely all over the world, especially in the Western countries. So when there's a Harinam party going, there's nice, of course, the main thing is to sing with devotion. When we go out, perform Sankirtan, the main thing is, we're not just putting up a show, but we want to impress people with our devotion. So I was reading a quote at the reception in this Prabhupada calendar. It said along the lines that, we are not just going out there to chant, but we are going to do this with devotion, and people will be attracted by our devotion. So that's the main thing, to attract people by our devotion. But the packaging is also very important. If you want to sell a product, the packaging is important. So the difference between the Pura milk and the Kohl's milk is the packaging. It's essentially the same substance, not much difference. But it's the packaging. So how we package our preaching, our product, is very, very important. So we have to pay attention to that also. So when it is done very nicely, it is extremely attractive. And along with such Sankirtan parties, when there's distribution of literature or pamphlets, that is also very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, because we are not only distributing the holy name, but we are explaining to them the glories of the holy name. So then that is very, very effective. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the acharyas have given different acharyas have given different commentaries on the same verse, and we see that in throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in the 10th canto. For example, if you take Putana's pastime, different acharyas have given different meanings to that pastime. Why Krishna closed his eyes? So when Krishna was about to kill Putana, he closed his eyes. So one acharya says that, you know, he didn't want to see, he was killing a woman, so he closed his eyes. And then, do you know the different reasons the acharyas give for Putana's killing? Yeah, why Krishna closed his eyes. Yeah, she was a woman, that's one. She was a demoness.
Krishna thought that she may be able to see her death in my eyes and run away.
Okay.
Swami says,
okay.
So he closed his eyes that I don't want her to run away.
Okay, yeah. So he gave, the acharyas give different meanings. So like...
20 actually.
Really? 20? Okay. So... especially we see in the 10th canto, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives different meanings to Krishna's pastimes, which are not there in the translation. So he gives, you know, maybe Krishna said like, did like this, then the gopi said like that, then Krishna did this. So here in the purport is described that Sridhar Swami, he says that that Vyasadev is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a further explanation. So the acharyas are not contradicting each other, because they're not changing the main meaning of the verse. So they are giving their different realizations on the same verse. Because Krishna is unlimited, he can be understood in unlimited ways. So it's not that we can give our own, you know, authorized versions. But we take the authorized versions of the acharyas. And they don't say that Krishna is not God. So like when Mayavadis give the interpretation, we don't take their interpretation because they say Krishna is not God. We all are God. So such interpretations, we reject them. So even on the Bhagavad Gita, we see this by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and this by Baladev Vidyabhushan. And Prabhupada, he leaned more towards Baladev Vidyabhushan on the Bhagavad Gita. So I was hearing a lecture by, I think, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. He was talking on this. This was a while ago. So he was saying something along the lines that I can't fully remember. It was a while ago. I heard his lecture on this. But there's a reason why Srila Prabhupada, why Baladev Vidyabhushan wrote a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. There's a whole, I'll have to look it up. But the main point is they don't change the essential meaning of the verse and they give in-depth realizations which they have on that verse. So that's the reason here. Why? Why there's so many commentaries by different acharyas on the same verse. So it might seem that they are contradicting each other, but not really. They're not contradicting each other. Just giving different angles to the same verse. So I'll leave it there. You have any comments or questions on this verse? Well, the message is perfect, but the composition might not be perfect. So that's the point. The message should be perfect. So like Prabhupada also, you know, made some grammatical mistakes and he had his disciples edit his books, but the message he was giving was perfect. So he said the BBT can edit his books as long as the meaning does not change. So that's where the purity comes in, because the meaning is not changed. I think he had Hayagriva, who was his editor in the beginning days. Hayagriva, right? Yeah. So then Prabhupada was translating and he got them to do the rest. So they had to hear his tapes, then they had to write it down. Transcribe it and all that. So Prabhupada got an editor to see what grammatical mistakes are there. And as I said, the packaging is very important. So Prabhupada also realized that the packaging is important. So that's why he got editors to do that. But Prabhupada would get very angry when sometimes they would change the meaning of his purports. Sometimes Prabhupada would read his books and say, you know, why was this changed? This has changed the whole meaning. So then he would get on the case. But in general, he approved editing. Yeah, here, I found it. So here it says that the reason Baladev Vidyabhushan, he put a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita was because traditionally in Vedic circles, in Vedantic circles, for any sampradaya to be considered bona fide, it has to have commentaries on Prasthantraya, which means the three-way foundation of Vedantic philosophy. So in other words, commentary on Bhagavad Gita, the 10 principal Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutras. So, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said there was no need to have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra because Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary. So no one really commented on the Vedanta Sutra. But then at one point of time, there were these Ramanandis who challenged the authority of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So then Baldev Vidya Bhushan, he wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita, on the Vedanta Sutra, like that. And so Baldev Vidya Bhushan's commentaries are more based on tattva, whereas Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he's a Rasika Acharya, you know. So Prabhupada leant more towards, you know, when you pick up Bhagavad Gita, it says to Baldev Vidya Bhushan. So because people need to understand the philosophy first, as is tattva first, before they understand Krishna's pastimes. So that's also mentioned in this purport, that first people need to understand Krishna's tattva before they can appreciate Krishna's rasa leela. Anything else? Govinda Bhashya, yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada also said Krishna dictated to me all these purports. So, like Krishna dictated to Baladev Vidya Bhushan, and that's why we don't find authors reading their own books. You don't see any author reading their own books, but Prabhupada would read his own books. He would get disciples to read Krishna book, and he would be reading his Bhagavatam, because he said, "I have not written; it's Krishna spoke to me." So it's very so that now. In a week or two's time, the marathon is approaching. So it's a time of the year to concentrate our efforts to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, to bring a revolution in the impious lives of this misdirected civilization. So it's a wonderful opportunity, and we all should take advantage of that by enrolling ourselves and doing as much as we can by going out on the streets or covering devotee services so others can go out, or by contributing to these books. In various ways we can contribute to give out this mercy. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.